A bit of a trial. There we go. Thank you. Hallelujah. We're going to look this morning at Jesus looking at people. Because he don't see what we see sometimes. And just like our friend Alex the Lion in Madagascar, if you recognize him just then, he's a guy who loves steak, and he's a guy who sometimes gets hungry. And when he's hungry and he looks at his friends, I don't look like a steak to you, do I, Alex? Yes, you do. Okay. So we're just going to look at our eyes this morning and Jesus' eyes and what he sees when he looks at you. Because you can be like Alex the Lion, or you can be like Jesus. You can look at people and you can see, well, here's someone who will give me what I need. Okay? Sometimes they say about someone who makes a bad purchase, they saw you coming. Okay? The shopkeepers had eyes. They weren't looking at you per se. You were just a quick dollar for them. Okay. Jesus looks at people. He's looked at you too. Did you know that? Jesus has looked at you. Does that make you want to squirm? Because he sees you as you are. And we're just going to look at Jesus, having a look, and see what's going on for him. What's different for him than for us when he has a look? What do we see when we look? Well, when we see someone, we might think, well, here's someone who's kind of in my way. They're in front of me in the queue, and I want to be in front of the queue, so I wish they'd just kind of go away, and I can be in front of the queue. That's all we see. Someone who frustrates us. Someone who's in the way. Someone from whom we can get something. Someone who annoys us. Or maybe we see something else. Maybe we see someone who's got an internal soul. Someone who's valuable, like me. Someone who's got an eternal soul. Someone who's got a future. A future with God. A future that may be different to their present. Someone who's not always going to be what they are now. So we look at someone and we see what's not there yet. These are the kind of creative eyes God has. But let's take a look at Jesus taking a look. I'm going to look at a few occasions because Jesus did this a lot. I'm going to start off in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, where it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at this guy, and when he looked at him, he loved him. Imagine that. I wonder what kind of a man was he? And what did other people see when they looked at this person? I'm going back just a few verses in Mark chapter 10 to the start of this story. Now think about this. And if you were there, what would you see when you see this man? As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, he was going somewhere. That's one of the things that prevents us seeing people as they are. We're busy. We're going somewhere. And if someone comes along, well, they're just a blinking nuisance because they're going to slow you down. Jesus had somewhere to go, places to go, bud, people to see. Thanks, but no thanks. Could you just move aside and let me get on with it? As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down. That really hinders your journey, doesn't it? So you're starting out tomorrow, up the N7, back out of your driveway, just to start. Someone comes up and kneels down in front of your car. Honk, honk. Is that your response? Let's look at this person. He came up, knelt down. So what do we know about him? He's keen. He's interested in Jesus. And he asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, he's intelligent. He asks good questions. We're seeing some things about this man. Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. Jesus is being a bit coy here. Don't you notice that? He's letting this conversation develop. He doesn't go straight for the end of the conversation at the start. For someone in a hurry, on a journey, that's good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Ooh, what do you see now? Religious guy. A really good guy. A trier. Verse 21. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Have you felt that yet in your looking at him? Or have you just thought, who's this guy? He's kind of running up, getting in Jesus' way, smart, kind of well-dressed maybe. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There's still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. That's quite a challenge. Jesus must have seen something very deep and receptive in his heart to even try that. He wasn't playing with him. But of course, the outcomes weren't guaranteed for Jesus with this man, just as his outcomes aren't guaranteed with us either. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad. For he had many possessions. He's a rich man. That's maybe what we see now. Oh, rich guy. Rich guy, clever guy, religious guy, unwilling guy. But what does Jesus see more than anything else? He sees a guy that he feels love for. He sees something into this guy. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. This amazed them. And Jesus went on and turned it into a lesson for the others. But when he was engaging with this man, he was really engaging with him. He looked for him. He saw him. It's not the only time Jesus looked at people. Jesus tends to look at people. Do you know any people who don't look at you when you're speaking to them? Don't call out any names now. But they just don't want to look at you. What is that? What's going on there? What's not going on there? And someone who does look at you, and you think, oh, they looked at me. They saw me. They valued me. They took time out of their journey to Jericho or wherever. And they stopped. They looked at me. They gave me 1 second of their attention. 1 second out of their life. It's something. Some people don't give you that much. Long enough to look and to love. Is there hope for us to be like Jesus? Let's go to our next story. Luke 19:5. Luke's such a great writer. He catches these details. When Jesus came by, he looked up at him and called him by his name. What's going on here? Another man calls the case. Let's go back and pick up the story. Verse 1. Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. Jericho was on his way, it seems, a lot of the time. A bit like Naas. It's kind of a town that's on your way. You know, when you say Naas, I live in Naas. Someone lives in Dublin. They say, oh yeah, Naas Road. Actually, it goes to a place. There's a town called Naas. It's not just a way to somewhere else. Okay, so Jericho must have been a bit like that. It was just a road goes there and you went there because you were going somewhere else. But stuff can happen when you're going somewhere else. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. Okay, imagine you're there. You see this guy. What do you see? What Jesus sees, what we see, not always the same thing. He was the chief tax collector in the region. Ha! Here it's called Kildare District Revenue. I've got the phone number and all. Okay? Sometimes I ring those people. Say, I've got a problem. This online thing's not working for me. So this guy was Kildare Revenue District, like, I think they call it a principal officer in the civil service. Someone at that level who manages that size of a division. He might earn more than you and me for that job. So what do you see when you meet someone like that? Someone who you know earns more than you. What do you see? Rich guy. So there he was, chief tax collector, and he had become very rich. Collecting taxes was even better paid then than it is now because it was on a percentage. Mm-hmm. And there was a good deal of discretion in the administration of the tax system. So it was good work if you could get it. And he got it. So what do you see when you meet someone like that? An opportunist, a powerful person, a rich person. Rich with some of your money that maybe he shouldn't have taken. What do you see when you see this bloke? So there he is. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Ha! So there was a guy who goes to TK Maxx, buys the small size, takes it home, and gets the legs of the trousers turned up like this much. And so if you were there and you saw him trying to see, you'd probably be thinking, he doesn't look so rich now. I'm kind of pleased. You wouldn't be loving him, would you? You'd see certain things. You see what he is to you, because let's face it, we all are at the centre of our own world. When we meet other people, they're kind of, they're characters in our story, but it's my story. Maybe they're even accessories to my life. I'm living my life, you're an accessory. I need you today, don't need you tomorrow. I'm just having my life. Thanks, no thanks. I'm doing my thing today. Don't want you today. He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. Another clever guy, a man with a plan. He climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Didn't say, hey, you short guy. Hey, you rich guy. Hey, you smart guy that got up the tree. Oh, that was clever. He didn't just see those things. He saw this man. Zacchaeus. Yeah, that's my name. That's what I call myself. It's nice to call people what they call themselves, not what other people call them. Sometimes people call other people by names that they wouldn't use on themselves. Don't ever let a name like that cross your lips. A descriptor for people that are less than you, less than human. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Cheeky, you might think, inviting himself to Zacchaeus' house. But that was actually, he was giving an honor, not taking an honor. That was quite a thing to say. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Didn't see the joy in this man before, did you? He saw short guy, rich guy, clever guy. Joy. There's something going on in this man's heart that isn't immediately apparent to people who aren't sympathetic to him. But Jesus is sympathetic to him. Isn't it a good thing that Jesus is the one with whom we have to do, and that Jesus is our judge, and not someone else who looks at us and says, you are just this kind of a, you're one of them, or you're this, or you're richer than me, or you're... I'm glad that Jesus is our judge. I mean, it's fearful. It's also comforting. Someone who really sees you. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. This isn't right. He should have gone to him. He shouldn't have gone with him. Jesus has done the wrong thing. Jesus is always doing the wrong thing. Don't get it. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Where did that come from? Jesus never mentioned the taxes, never mentioned the poor. All he said was, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house to eat today. Nothing about a tax rebate. But because he spoke to his heart, stuff happened. And when Jesus speaks to your heart, stuff happens. And if you can speak to someone else's heart, stuff happens. That doesn't happen when you say, you louser, you take more taxes than you ought to. You should be given some of it back. Wag, wag, wag. Jesus doesn't mention the tax rebate. And here now, the tax rebate's on its way. Amazing. Amazing what the grace of Jesus does when he meets someone. And he really does meet them. He meets the real person, not just the what they're clothed with, what other people see. He meets the real you. He meets the real them. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this house today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. He was already a Jew, son of Abraham. Now he showed he was really functioning in that covenant. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. He could have called him lost guy at the start. Hey, lost guy, come down to the tree. He didn't start off calling him lost guy. He started off calling him Zacchaeus. Then P.S. at the end, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. We'd be wondering why our approach wasn't working. We said, hey, you short guy, lost guy. Why do you keep taking people's money? Oh, God doesn't like you doing that. He's not responding. He's very hard to the gospel. Yeah, but that's not the gospel. Zacchaeus. Have a coffee. They didn't have Starbucks, just so you know. So going to his house was like, let's have a coffee. Luke chapter 7. Jesus said to one of his friends, Simon said, look at this woman. Look. He's telling someone else to look, so to see what they will see. Let's pick up the story. Luke 7 and verse 36 is where it begins. One of the Pharisees, by the way, Pharisees were great people. Jesus is so subversive, he turns everything upside down. So now we hear the word Pharisee, think, oh, bad people. Samaritans, oh, good people. Because Jesus has just reversed the wheel of society and economics. Jesus tends to turn things upside down. That's why the rich people are really afraid of him. If you have stuff, he might shake it all up and you might end up being a poorer person. And the poor love him because he might shake it all up and you might be better off at the end than at the start. But the Pharisees, like, did a lot of good stuff, okay? They were really respected and they very careful about their religion, down to the little details. So you might say, well, how can you go and have dinner with a Pharisee? Well, you know, Jesus revealed what was wrong in their hearts. But it's not like he wouldn't talk to them or touch them. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with them. A lot seems to happen with food, okay? So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. That's pretty intimate, isn't it? Tears, hair, feet, touching. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. I don't get that much. How about you when you go to eat with someone? Okay. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself. You see, we have our own little narrative that goes on. When we look at someone, you know, we think inside, oh, I know what this kind of person this is. Do you? He said to himself. He didn't say it out loud. Of course, Jesus was around and he knows what's in your heart. He said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's not the kind of woman you want to hang out with or be seen with. So now, not only does he have a low view of the woman, but now he has a low view of Jesus. Like he had given Jesus a chance, as he thought. Like, you know, this teacher, this rabbi, he might have something to say. Now Jesus comes in, he's assessing Jesus. And he's already made his assessment of the woman. Now Jesus is letting the woman touch him. So now he's forming his more firm assessment of Jesus. Like, come on. I mean, my friends told me he's from Galilee, he's not a prophet. I heard he's been a bit of an upstart and, you know, he doesn't keep the law the way we keep the law. He's not as good as us. And now this. So he's rapidly forming a hardened view of Jesus. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon. That name thing again. Isn't it lovely when someone calls you by your name? Isn't it lovely for someone else when you call them by their name? I know it's hard to remember names. I know that. But if you can, it's such a precious word, isn't it? Someone hears their own name. I mean, often we read rather quickly through all those chapters in the Bible that are full of genealogies and blah, 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 blah. Where does the story really start? But if one of those people was you, that would be your favorite chapter. Say, look at this. Every time you meet, they say, hi, I'm James. I'm in the Bible. You're like, here. Oh, look, here. There. That's me. To hear your own name. Boy, is it music. And Jesus played this music for Simon. There's Simon. I don't like her, and I'm not sure about him now. So this is the mood music inside Simon's head. Jesus says, Simon, calling the real guy, Simon, he said, I have something to say to you. That's funny now, because Simon had something to say and he didn't say it. Did you notice that? Simon saw the woman slobbering over Jesus and he said, who himself? He said, inside his own head, he said, if he now lets her do this, that shows he's not really a godly person. So he had something to say, but he didn't say it out. He said it inside his head. Jesus takes a different approach. Jesus is a speaker as well as a seer. He's got lips that work and eyes that work and ears that work. Great being. He said, I have something to say. Okay, we're going to talk out loud now instead of just muttering inside our heads. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 bucks to one and 50 bucks to the other. Neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, cancelling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he cancelled the larger debt. I mean, in all fairness, it's an easy question, isn't it? It's kind of senior infant's homework, isn't it? 500, 50. Which one's bigger?
Earning the greater than sign. This one's greater than this one.
A no-brainer. That's right, Jesus said, or in the NIV it says, you have judged correctly. This is magic. Imagine you were there, standing in for Jesus that day, and the woman comes in, and Simon starts kind of judging the woman in his mind, saying, oh, she's a sinner, he's probably a sinner too. You feel like saying, you're judging incorrectly. But Jesus didn't say that. The first word he said was, Simon. And he managed to arrange things so that Simon made a correct judgment. I said, well done, Simon. Good judgment. Isn't that magic? Instead of saying to Simon, you've judged incorrectly, he led it around until Simon got it right. He caught Simon doing what's right. It's a great thing when you catch someone doing what's right and you commend them for it. It's much more acceptable than the kind of advice that says, no, not like that, not like that, not like that. He saw this person, Simon. Saw something valuable inside him. Wait till he came inside and said, there, Simon, I like it. I like your style, Simon. You got that one right about the two debts question. You are one clever guy. Then he turned to the woman. He's looking at her. And he said to Simon, he's talking to him. Jesus is very deliberate, isn't he? Jesus looking at the woman and talking to Simon. And he says this. Do you see this woman? Oh, now there's a question. Do you see this woman? He had seen the woman. In fact, he thought he had seen her very well. But he hadn't seen her at all. He'd seen the kind of role she had in life. Prostitution. Whether it was voluntary or enforced. I don't know. But that's what he saw. She's one of them. She's way beneath me. Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Oops. Oops. The whole triangle thing is changing around a bit, isn't it? There was Simon thinking, here's me, good Pharisee. There's the woman, definitely scum of the earth. Here's Jesus, dodgy prophet. And I'm leaning strongly towards the view that he really is a false prophet and a guy I don't want to invite him back to dinner again. The assumption, of course, is I'm the good guy, she's the bad girl, he's probably a bad guy too. Now the triangle is turning around a bit. Jesus is saying, see the way she treated me? Actually, Simon, you know, I kind of missed that courtesy. You know, we all wear sandals around here, we come in with grubby feet, and usually you get a basin of water in someone's house, but you kind of forgot today, didn't you? When I came in, you forgot the basin of water. But good thing she came along then, didn't she? Not only is Jesus kind of asking Simon, would you be kind enough to condescend to allow this terribly inferior and sinful woman just up one little notch in your estimation so that you'd allow her to stay in your house? He's just saying, woo! Simon, this woman could teach you things. Oh no! what's going on in his head now, flooded with confusion and self-discovery and thoughts that are too awful to allow and think about. Oh no! What are you doing to me, Jesus? Verse 45, you didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. I pour out my heart and tell you I love you. Pour out my heart. There she was. And he was going, well, I let him in, didn't I? He should be glad. I'm Simon. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. He gets around to the necessary stuff eventually, where we might start with maybe a negative theme. Jesus does deal with what needs to be dealt with, but boy, does he meet the person first. First of all, he connects. And he does that by calling them by their name and by cutting through the stuff. Okay? The stuff in their lives, in their views, in their environment. He just cuts right through. Deep calls to deep. A real person with a real heart, Jesus calls to a real Simon with a real heart, a real Zacchaeus. Someone who's been written off by, you know, all the contemporaries. Everyone on the street says, ah, he was just flipping tax collector. All he cares about is money. I wouldn't even invite him to church. Sure, look, let's go fishing where there's fish. You know, and Jesus sees the person. He sees you. And he calls you to see someone else, just like he called Simon to see the woman. Simon, do you see this woman? Later on, when Jesus was speaking to one of the churches in Revelation 3:18, we often read this bit. He was speaking to the church in Laodicea. And we often read the end of this. This is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. It's Jesus' message to the churches. You know that there's loads of letters in the New Testament written by Paul, by John, by Peter, by James, and Jude. And there's also letters written by Jesus, dictated by Jesus to John when John was on Patmos. This is one of the Jesus letters. He says, I advise you. Jesus has advice for us. How about that? I advise you to buy gold for me. Laodicea was a wealthy city with banks in it. But he says, I advise you to buy gold for me. We've got a lot of money already. No, there's something you need. I advise you, he says, to buy gold from me. It has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. And buy white garments. They made garments in that city. So the things he spoke to them about were the things to do with their locality. And he just lifted them up into a heavenly way of thinking. Buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness. And ointment for your eyes. They made ointment in that town, Laodicea. It was one of their products. Just like in Nace, we have races, you know. But if Jesus was writing a letter like this, he might say, you know, you guys, keep running. Because you won't win if you stop. Run in such a way as to win. Don't be looking around saying, well, I'll adjust my pace to the pace. No. You run. Don't look to one side. Don't look behind you. You just keep running. You don't win otherwise. Run. Anyway, he's talking to them. And he says, ointment for your eyes. So you'll be able to see. He says, I can give you ointment for your eyes. But we can see fine. Yeah, you can see physical things. Just like the people on the day of the Zacchaeus. They could see Zacchaeus. They could see he was short. Look, yeah, short man, tall tree. You know, they could see stuff. They could see with their eyes. But she said, you can see physical things with your eyes, but you can't see. You can't see as you ought to see. He said, I advise you, buy ointment from me. I will put ointment on your eyes. And you'll be able to see. You'll be able to call someone by their name and maybe see who they are, or see a little of who they are. You mightn't see it all. But instead of being blinded by the way they're seen by people with worldly eyes, rich guy, cheat guy, short guy, clever guy, sinner woman, less than me person, unpopular person, dodgy prophet. You know, instead of just seeing someone with the label that's put on them by the people who want to get something from them or promote themselves, to actually see who they are and maybe call out that thing that's in them that they scarcely know is there. Did Zacchaeus know that was in there? Did he know himself? Was Zacchaeus able to look in the mirror and say to his own eyes, Zacchaeus, and see what Jesus saw? I doubt it, really. The Bible says, in thy light we see light. When he looks and sees and calls, he sees in you something you don't see in you. But he also calls you to this enlightened place of having eyes that can see other people. How different our lives would be, you know, if you get Jesus' eyes this morning. How different life's going to be for you this week. And how different life is going to be for the people that you meet. The people that you actually, you see. And you call them by their name. You say, Simon. Yeah. Whereas before if you haven't called them by their name, or you've called them by a different name, you've called them in your head, you've made your assessment of them. What I would like to do is that we take a time to ask the Lord for that. I brought some oil. I'm happy to anoint anyone's eyes. I won't put the oil in your eyes, don't worry. If you'd like to have this thing that Jesus calls us to have, he says, open up your eyes to see. I'd be happy to pray for anyone, anoint you with oil. Won't make a mean of it. I don't have magic power, but Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit, who gives us power to be like him. And in the way that we see, we begin to have the softer eyes that he has in our engagements with others, in our engagement with ourselves and with him, that we see things as they are, not as we have been told they are, and not as we have. If we can see things as they are and see people as they are, what a difference it's going to make to us and the people we meet. Can we put on some background music? Is that available? Thank you, Emmanuel. So let's take a while just to let the Word of God soak in. I'll turn off this microphone. Anyone who comes up the front here, I will gladly